we chat with author, athlete, and advocate Meg Boggs about fitness for every body in this week's Band of Mothers podcast. We have an amazing and exciting announcement for you guys. And that is Shayna has discovered a whole new way to use High Plains Market High Vibe Body Oil. And it's going to change your life and the lives of people you love.
Or one person you love, probably. So
one person. Preferably one person.
We were talking to, was it Amanda Testa in her episode about sex and relationships? And we were talking about the High Vibe Oil.
We've been talking to so many people about the High Vibe Oil.
Okay. So if you don't know what the hell we're talking about, Tracy makes it like with her hands, like in her kitchen.
Clean kitchen.
In a clean kitchen. she makes this, it's called Peace Out High Vibe Body Oil, and it's essential oils and jojoba oil and like all this. She's been making it for friends and family and for me for years. Now she makes it and we sell it on the bomb market. It's awesome. It's my favorite thing. I put a couple squirts in the bath and I also use it as moisturizer. It's awesome. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. However...
And this is because you guys have been buying it like crazy, and thank you, keep the orders coming. Love it. It seems like you guys really like it. But there's one question we keep getting.
Yes, which is, can you use it for lube? Now, now, I don't know the answer to that question, although I can tell you that if I was to think about it, everything in it is completely natural, and what the hell is in...
KY.
Like that, you know how it gets all sticky and gross and
like for sure you could literally eat
the high vibe body oil. Yeah, so. It's all natural. There's nothing bad in it. It's so good for your skin. So sure, the answer we think is yes. However, Sunday morning, kids are playing video games. My husband is like trying to do it with me and I'm not having it that morning. I was like, oh no. But then I was like, ding, ding, how would you like me to try this oil for a handy? So anyway, it's awesome. You guys, like one squirt.
Of high vibe.
I rewind. It was so good. It does not get sticky. It does not like go away. Like it was the perfect... And it smells so good. So you're
it
just like,
so good.
It's delightful. And
it was a success.
But when I told another friend of mine, she was like, I have not given a hand job since college.
Oh, well, that's your jam.
Sure. Okay. But I'm like, you should try. Next message is it's easy peasy.
Yeah.
Especially with the high vibe oil. So listen, use it in your bath, use it on your body, use it on your kids, rub it on your spine, do all the things that you do with it, but also use it for handies.
Yep. So that's our important, that's our PSA for today.
Absolutely.
We're just here to help you guys. You know, I'm just there in my kitchen, mixing it up to make your life easier.
And as we usually have to do for all of our guests whose episodes we ruin by these conversations at the beginning. Sorry, Meg.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And speaking of guests, we have a really fun upcoming episode with some hilarious mothers that's going to be really, really hilarious and fun. But we need your help. What we want you guys to help us with is leave us a message on our voicemail, bandofmothers.com/podcast, and tell us.
Yeah, you just scroll down and then you just click a button. You can do it from your computer or your phone. It's super easy.
And tell us one of your most embarrassing mom moments.
Right.
One of those moments where you're like, that just happened and I'm so glad no one is around. I shall never speak of it again.
Or except even if us. Someone was around. Like, remember when I couldn't find my baby, but I was holding my baby.
Yeah.
And it was my neighbor and I started freaking out, but I was holding a beer in the other hand. Mm-hmm. That was embarrassing.
Yeah. So we want to know yours so we can share some of them on an upcoming episode all about embarrassing mom moments. So it can be anonymous, no worries. But what we would like you to do is leave your name and your Instagram handle if you want, or an email.
You just went, it can be anonymous.
No.
Please leave your name and Instagram handle and your social security number.
If you don't mind. Not for us to announce on
and
the
send
podcast.
Send Bitcoin to this address.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll just use it to trade Bit. No, because we are going to give away a bottle of High Vibe body oil to one lucky winner who leaves a message.
To one lucky hand job giver. Who leaves us a message. So
okay, so that's why I need your information so that I can contact you when you win.
That's right.
A $42 bottle of High Vibe body oil.
That's right. And we will not put like your name on the in the episode, but we do need your message.
Right. Okay. That's what I'm saying. So bandofmothers.com/podcast. Leave us a great story. You'll get entered
something
to win.
Something embarrassing.
Something from High Plains Market, from our bomb.market.
I dare you to make us blush. It's rare.
Or if you've already bought the High Plains, and I know that's a lot of you, let us know how it works in the bedroom.
Yeah, we haven't yet put it up but I'm willing.
I don't know why. I really don't know why. I'm just going to do it. I've used essential oils down there. Here's a little tip, by the way.
Just for a little tip. Just the tip.
Orange essential oil plus juniper. Mix it together and put it on the inside of your legs, like close to your labs, not inside.
Oh, you just said labs.
It is real good.
What do you mean?
Like it stimulates the blood down there and
sounds like a rash. To happen.
I mean, use a little, put a little put a little High Vibe in it, or a little carrier oil, even just like olive oil from your kitchen. Mix it together, just rub it down in there. I'm like doing it.
Wow.
And it enhances your intimate times.
And don't forget to visit the Vaughn Market to buy your.
You know what? I'll just make that for you too. I'll just make it up, and then you can just buy it pre-mixed and just
absolutely. Oh, and also if you enjoy this conversation and this podcast, please leave us a review. Please subscribe. And you know what else you could do for us? Share it with your mom friends, because it's all Band of Mothers. That's what we're all about. Spread the love.
Yeah. But a review would really make us feel good in a lot of ways.
Like a good review.
Not as good as the High Vibe in my labs. But a different kind of...
Nothing upsets me. That upsets me.
Why?
Labs.
I like it. Well, it's better than labia. It's
well,
like
I would never
word.
Use either of them.
Well, I was just trying to be anatomically
vulvic
correct.
is what Latham Thomas called it, remember?
Yeah, I am not okay with that. Yeah. I have enough folds on my body. I don't need to point them out.
Okay.
Anyway, coming up. So excited for this week's guest, Meg Boggs. We're sure you know her. She is an inspiration to anyone who crosses her path. She is a mom, obviously. She is a body love advocate. She is an athlete. She's
an influencer, inspiring women of all shapes and sizes to focus on fitness instead of what's on the scale. And she tells us that entire story. So we hope you enjoy. Meg Boggs, we are so excited to have you here with us today. We're total fangirls. We follow you and watch you every day. You are so amazingly knowledgeable about all things fitness and all things confidence. So can we just start with how to do a push-up?
How did I know?
Tracy does not know how to do a push-up. Well, she knows how.
I know how to do a push-up. I cannot do a push-up.
So like, what do you normally do? What do you,
To go down. They just don't, my arms, I have no upper arm
strength.
Wait,
so you can't go to your front yard when it's fully full of snow and do push-ups holding 25 pound weights like Meg Boggs?
No, I cannot.
Okay, that was rough though. Let's be real.
Oh, well, you made it look delightful.
It was rough.
I watched that so many times.
The reality is that whenever I first started, I couldn't even lift the barbell. Like I would struggle to just pick up the barbell to do like a deadlift and bench press. It was really, really difficult for me. So I've come from just being able to do that and putting the little 5 pound weights on it to now, I mean, I can bench press 225. So you would think that like, that's pretty impressive for somebody to build their strength from scratch who didn't really have, I had no upper body strength. Like I couldn't even hold myself into a plank. Like we were talking about pushups. I could hold myself up on my like toes and my hands for maybe like 5 seconds. And that's all I had. Like I couldn't even give you like a half inch dip into a pushup. And so I had to start from the absolute beginning. And it was actually, I was like 8 weeks postpartum at the same time when I first started lifting. And so I was struggling with like my core strength was just, there was nothing there. Like I couldn't do a sit up at all. It's just interesting because that's such a big misconception about bodies that first you're telling somebody that they're so big, they need to exercise and work out and that's going to help them. And then when they do, like somebody like me, who's excited and confident and proud and just feeling very empowered in the progress that I've made, it's like, well, it's still not impressive and it's still not good enough because your body hasn't shrunk. That's where the real work is proven, is when your body shifts into a smaller version of yourself. And that's just so wrong. It's just, that's not how it works. The stuff that I've gained just from working out in the last, I guess, 3 years, it's been about 3 years. I mean, I've gained so much confidence. My endurance is like nothing I've ever experienced before. I can just, I'm more flexible. I weigh the same now that I did whenever I started my whole like fitness journey 3 years ago. And what's interesting about it is that I couldn't tie my shoes. Like I couldn't really bend. I'd have to like hike it up on the couch and do this weird like twist to tie my shoes. And now I'm so flexible that, I mean, I can pretty much do anything I want. It's like,
right.
And do you weigh the same? I mean, that's, you know, yeah. I know we hear that, don't look at the scale, don't look at the scale. Mm-hmm. But this is perfect proof that the scale, what you weigh doesn't actually correlate with your fitness acumen, you know, or your fitness ability. It does not. And, you know, it's, weight is such an arbitrary thing. And I think your point is proven. You know, your core is stronger, so you can tie your shoe. And there's a million other things to look at success.
Can you rewind a little bit and get us into your fitness journey? So you had just had a baby and that's when you decided to really shift things for yourself physically.
Yeah. So it wasn't my first time in the fitness world. That was just the first time that I actually started powerlifting and lifting like heavy weights instead of just like jumping on a treadmill for an hour and like trying to burn as many calories. So my pregnancy is kind of that divide in my journey because everything before that, like the 3 or 4 years before that, I was like on this huge weight loss journey. That was like what my Instagram was about. It was my whole life was dedicated to meal prep, counting calories, making sure that I exercise enough. Sometimes I was exercising like 3 times a day and my whole, just whole life was surrounding shrink, 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 get as small as possible. You're doing so good. My whole day would start with getting on the scale first thing in the morning. Well, I would always go pee first. Cause I'd be like, I'm gonna have to get everything out. I was like, even farts, I gotta fart. Every part of me needs to just get out.
Oh my gosh.
And then I'll try that, by the way. I know. It's like, who thought that that was a good idea? Like, it's gonna save me.
You know what? I'm just imagining farts with density now, and you just opened my mind to just
called poop. Farts with density are called poop. You should definitely get that out before you weigh yourself. Okay, sorry.
That would be my whole day. It's like if it wasn't 0.1 lower than yesterday, I was just like pissed, and I was like, "Oh, this day is done. I'm not eating. I'm skipping the snacks." Like, I'm having 4 almonds today instead of 10. Like it was compulsive, obsessive. It was insane.
Were you always that way? Like even when you were really young?
No. When I was younger, I actually got kicked out of athletics when I was in 9th grade. I got into a fight because I was being bullied because of my size and how like I shouldn't be on the like A team. I needed to be on the B team. It was just this whole thing. And so I got into this huge fight. And they actually kicked me off the team and out of athletics. And so I couldn't do athletics for all of high school after ninth grade. And so that's why I was like, okay, I'm going to do band then. I'll just be in the band, do music. And that's kind of where
you got kicked out for like being in a physical fight. Like you kicked the shit out of someone.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well deserved, apparently, for being a bully, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, we had just moved. Okay. Like, I grew up in a small town and I did sports there and it was like normal, fine. Once I moved into the big city of Dallas, it was like this new school. These girls were just like, who are you? You're new. Like, you shouldn't be as good as us. Like, you're fat. Mm. It was this whole thing. And they would throw volleyballs at my face and knock my glasses off. And it was like the worst experience. Like I cried every single day. It was horrible. And so I finally just lost it. I talked to my mom and she was like, I'm just so sick of having this conversation. Like she was like, you make your own decision with what you want to do with that. I've talked to the school. Like they're not, like nobody was really caring. And so one day I couldn't take it anymore. I just like lost it. And unfortunately that it was all my fault apparently. And so the coach talked to me and said, sorry, you're just going to have to, you know, be in PE for the rest of time in your career of high school. And it really was horrible because like, I loved playing volleyball. I loved running. I loved track and I loved shot put. Like shot put was like so fun, which makes sense now that I like powerlifting. It's like, I always liked picking up heavy stuff and like throwing it. Makes sense.
You've always had upper arm strength.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so.
That's what you need to start doing, just picking up heavy shit.
Yeah, that's how you have to think about it.
This past year has been a struggle for all of us. And I think we have all felt a million feelings we were never expecting. Depression, anxiety, despair, anger, frustration, all of it. And that's why it is important to talk to somebody throughout the hard times. Talkspace is a great place to start. They have thousands of licensed therapists with years of experience in over 40 specialties, including depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, anger management, relationship issues, food and eating, and so much more. Talkspace lets you send and receive unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist in the Talkspace platform 24/7. It's private, you can set goals, and the technology is top-notch. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match yourself with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. Make sure you use the code BANDOFMOTHERS to get $100 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's Band of Mothers and Talkspace.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But yeah, so I gave up on everything physical activity wise. I was like, what's the point? It was just, it had this like stain on it for me.
Sure.
I just felt so much trauma from it that I was like moving on. So that's why I did music. I got my degree in music education. I became a music teacher and my husband and I, we got married. We talked about starting our family. Everything was pretty normal. I do suffer from a lot of like mental health issues along the way, which is like a whole other conversation. But fitness wise, it wasn't part of my life. But once we got married and then I went to my doctor and I was like, I really would like to start a family, because I thought that's what you do, is you tell your doctor, your gynecologist that you want to, that you're interested in starting a family. So what do I do now? Like, any tips? Mm-hmm. And she basically...
Well, so there's a penis and there's a vagina and you put them together.
Yeah, I was a man was a woman.
Or if you're my son, a man pees on a lady.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Oh, I love it. But yeah, I mean, I asked her, so, you know, should I be taking like a certain vitamin? Like, how can I prepare myself and my body? And she told me straight up, like, you realize that if you get pregnant, that you're gonna have to get a new doctor. You're gonna have to go to like a specialist, because we can't help people your size. Like, it's too, what's the word? I can't think
high
of the word.
High risk.
Yes, yes, yes. That it's too high risk, and that there is potential for like way too many complications. So just know that you probably should lose like at least 100 pounds, and then you're gonna, you know.
Oh, just by the way, just go ahead and lose 100
pounds. And why can't a doctor who's a doctor like help anybody at any size through something that they are a doctor for? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
but you know what? I'm not surprised at all.
It wasn't even shocking.
Yeah,
because at the time I was like, ooh, makes sense. Like, it didn't throw me off at all. I was like, well, that makes perfect sense. I need to go and lose weight, or else I can't, like, I'd have to find a new doctor. Like, she didn't even tell me a list of people, like, hey, here, go see these people. Like, it was just like, your only option is to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And that just terrified me, because I was so ready to start a family. I was like excited about that part of my life, and just thinking like, oh, like, how long is it going to take me to lose 100 pounds? I was like Googling, how long does it take to lose 100 pounds? And that is when my life just completely changed, because everything that we did, my poor husband, oh my God, I put him through the ringer, like, but he just went along with it for me. He ended up losing way more weight than I did, and I could tell he was just miserable. Mm-hmm. But that's what we did, is we completely focused on weight loss for 3 years, 2 years, 3 years. And when I got to like a certain point, I think I had lost like 90 pounds, and I was like, yes, like, I'm doing so good. And then it just like stopped. It hit this, like, everything continued that I was doing the same. And then my weight never went down. I was weighing every single morning and like just so mad. I got to the point where I would stop eating altogether. I would skip a few days and like call it fasting and say that it's what my body needed while working out. Yeah. It was terrible.
So you moved into disordered at that point.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I tell this to everybody. I'm very open about like the things that I would do, like with the rubber bands on my hands to stop my hunger, to obsessively count to like 1,000 to stop myself from, you know, being hungry or hearing my stomach growl. I would listen to loud music so that I couldn't hear my stomach physically growl. Just all kinds of stuff that
it was all encompassing. It was all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's all you
like,
thought about.
It's not like I found this, like, it's not like I thought, oh, well, that's a great idea, and I just came up with it on my own. I was finding these ideas online. People were blogging, health bloggers were blogging about tips to curb your hunger and to not feel like feel
human.
Satisfied
to
and trick yourself.
Not be a
and,
human.
Well, and how ironic that you were doing something so unhealthy to your body in order to get pregnant because a doctor told you you had to. So like you're hurting yourself before having to be the strongest that you have to be.
Yeah. And everybody was telling me that it's discipline. Well, you're doing so good because it just takes discipline and you have it. You have it. I can tell that you're so committed. And as my body was shrinking, I mean, people were complimenting me left and right. They were like, you look so great. And I like had bags under my eyes and was just like frail and weak. And
just so hungry.
I was angry all the time. I was like the biggest bitch in those days. Like horrible.
Sure.
I was mean to everybody.
You were hangry for 3 years.
I know. It was bad, like really bad. And I eventually got pregnant. And it tricked me into thinking she was right. She was right all along. It's because of her that, you know, I'm pregnant now. It all makes sense. And it's like butterflies and rainbows. And I was so excited, like the first trimester, I think. And you would think that would be the worst one, right? With like the nausea and the just horribleness of it. But once that second trimester hit and I started realizing that I was gaining weight, and my doctor, she wasn't mean about it, but she was just like, just something to keep in mind. And I was like, okay, well, I'm growing a human, so it's not like I have control over what my body's doing right now. Like, I'm still exercising. I'm still doing things I need to do.
So you were gaining weight. So you were still kind of, did you lay off your diet rules a little bit?
Yes.
Did you give yourself some grace, but you were still exercising?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I still was exercising, not nearly as like intense as before, but I was still lifting weights, like dumbbells, like small dumbbells, and just doing squats and things to keep myself moving. But I was still gaining weight, and I gained everything back. All the weight that I had lost, I lost like 80, 90 pounds. It all came back by the very end of my pregnancy. And I remember feeling very conflicted that like last month, because my doctor was like taking my blood pressure and everything, every single appointment, and would keep me to make sure that like it wasn't going too high. And it was never high, but she was just like always waiting for it to just explode. Mm-hmm. And it never did. It hit like a borderline. And then she was like, okay, we're going to induce you and just go ahead and do that at 38 weeks. And I was like freaking out, because all I could think about, I couldn't even think about like my child that I was about to give birth to and bring into this world. Like, she wasn't even on my mind for a lot of this. All I could think about was how I don't have like a pregnancy bump, and that it's like, I don't look pregnant at all. Like, if I look in the mirror, I just see like a big belly, and nobody would think that. It's all I could think about all the time. And I was like, okay, so if I'm going to have another one, I mean, I'm going to have to do this all over again. I'm going to lose almost 100 pounds again. And the only way I know how to do that is like super unhealthy, but everybody's telling me it's healthy. So I'm confused. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Once I had her, I had to make the decision. I had to say, okay, either I'm going to show her that my whole life revolves around making sure I stay at a certain size, or I'm going to show her that no matter what my size is, I'm going to live life, and I'm going to choose experiences, and I'm going to choose her and making her life the best that it can possibly be. And she's going to only know that through my example. And I don't want to give her that example, even though everybody's telling me that that's the right thing to do, because it's what's going to make you healthy, and it's what's going to give you the best life. I didn't feel happy when I lost weight, and I was still plus size. Whenever I got to my lowest weight, people still called me horrible names and still like pretty much didn't see me as somebody who really cared about their health. So it was just a lot of very conflicting feelings after I had my daughter. And then about 8 weeks into it, I was looking up on like Instagram. I had like no followers then. I just had like friends and family. And at that time, the people that I was trying to find for like guidance, like how do I have these feelings? I have this really negative feeling about working out and dieting, I couldn't find anybody that was talking about that. How do you work out without being obsessed with dieting and obsessed with the scale and numbers? How do I do that? And like, I felt like nobody could tell me that. I was following people who were in the fitness world, and then they were pushing the weight loss agenda. And I was like, oh, well, that's not helping me. And then I would follow people in the body positive world, and they were saying, no, don't work out, you know, just live your best life with where you are, and don't worry about movement and all that. They're just telling you to do that for, to like put you down. And so I'm just sitting there in the middle, like, okay, well, I want to work out because I enjoy it. It makes me feel good, but I don't know what to do. I just happened to, my mom had a trainer at the time, and he was like, well, I have some, you know, I have a studio. We have some barbells. Have you ever tried powerlifting? I was like, no. I mean, I've lifted some dumbbells. Does that count? And he was like, no, I mean like the big barbell. And I'm like, no, that sounds terrifying, but it also sounds fun. So I ended up saying yes. And I showed up and I went through an entire session. He showed me how to deadlift, how to bench press, and how to squat, and how to overhead press. And I was like hooked from that. Like, I went in my car and I still have the picture. It's like in black and white and super grainy, old school Instagram grainy, you know, with those filters.
Hipstamatic or whatever it was. Yes.
And I just like bawled my eyes out in my car. And because I just felt like, okay, maybe I found something. Maybe this is something that is going to be fun. And the numbers are more about how much I can lift and pick up, and I can celebrate that rather than celebrating the pounds and the measurements of my waist and everything and focusing on that. So it kind of changed my direction and my focus a little bit. And since then, like, I haven't stopped. Like, I've completely just fell in love with lifting really as heavy as I can lift, throwing things that are as heavy as I can throw. And it's just felt so empowering. And in that time, I mean, I'm definitely not on the other side. A lot of people think that I'm like, oh, so you've reached that moment of like, ah, everything is better and beautiful and wonderful. And that's definitely not true. I will always be on this journey. I will constantly be unlearning things that have been taught to me in the past that I believe to be true. But I think that when people ask me, so what would you tell somebody who is just now, you know, starting to like break up with diet culture and that whole mindset? And my biggest advice would just be to understand that you're not going to reach it tomorrow. You're not going to reach it probably not next year. I mean, you may be doing this work may be for the rest of your life. And a lot of people don't want to do that because it seems like, well, it's just easier to just diet then and to just do what everything is telling me. Yeah, to just do that. But if you give yourself the chance, just give yourself the chance. Choose a movement that you've never tried before. Maybe you've never tried cycling in a spin class before. Maybe you've never tried a kickboxing class before. Just pick something that you've never done. I mean, that's literally what I did. I had never done that before. And I just gave it a chance, open-minded, one time. And everything changed. And a lot of the time we want to do exercises that we think that people want us to do, that we think that are going to help us look like what people want us to look like. And that's what makes it so unenjoyable and makes it feel like a chore instead of, you know what, I'm going to go and hop on the spin bike because it's so fun and I enjoy it and it makes me feel good after.
Do you think there's been a shift, like a cultural shift, in the past 3 years since you started your kind of newer journey postpartum, in acceptance of different body sizes? I mean, I know that we get to see, you know, big box stores are finally having different shaped mannequins and, you know, different catalogs now show all different kinds of sizes of people versus kind of what I feel like it was some time ago. Is it, obviously it's not ever going to be enough, but have you felt that just being an outspoken person for body love or this movement?
Yeah, definitely. So when I first, started growing kind of on Instagram and people started kind of wanting me to partner with them and doing that sort of thing that I had never done before. Mm-hmm. I did notice that a lot of the brands and athletic companies that sell activewear, they didn't have my size at the time. And this was 3 years ago. At that time, it was like, and I would tell them like, well, you know, have you considered expanding? Have you considered, you know, you're wanting to work with me and you don't even have my size. So I don't know what it is that you want from me. And they would be like, oh, like it was almost shocking to them that they didn't have my size. And I have noticed since then, between then and now, there's been like, I could probably name like four or five that have made an effort and have extended their sizing and have included more plus size, models on their websites and to just represent a little bit more. I've noticed more apps popping up for fitness that are geared more towards all levels and not as weight centric and more weight inclusive. And it's a very slow process that I've seen happen. Unfortunately, there's always lots and lots of criticism whenever there is that representation because people automatically say, well, that's just promoting obesity. That's promoting an unhealthy lifestyle. Like if you see this big girl on this poster in activewear, like what you're just going to think that you're not going to feel inspired because you're going to see this person that's fat and think, oh, well, they're working out. They're not even losing weight. So clearly like working out doesn't work. And it's like, that's not how it works. Like, if anything, seeing somebody who looks like them on a poster in a gym that doesn't say weight loss transformation, that says like something really empowering next to it, you're going to feel like, at least for me personally, if I were to see that, I'd probably start crying. I still haven't seen that in an actual gym, but I've seen it in clothing stores where there's a plus size mannequin. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that mannequin's wearing my size. Like I've never experienced that in my entire life. And it just gives you that confidence. It makes you feel like, I'm not worthless. I am deserving of activewear that fits me and is comfortable. I am deserving of going into a place that makes me feel like I'm included and that I'm important and that it's for me as well. It's not just to shrink me. So there are changes happening. There's so much more to go. The hardest part is the criticism, especially for me. Like anytime I do work for a brand and then they share my images and they share my content, it's immediately like my account just explodes with people who want to tell me that what I'm doing is so dangerous and that it's just so wrong. I mean, I get told that I'm so dangerous constantly. And sometimes it does make me stop and think like, well, I mean, shit, am I doing something like bad? I have to really like recenter myself sometimes because I get told so many times that everything that I do is so bad and wrong and dangerous and unfortunate. And so I have to reel myself in quite often. I journal a lot and I have to write down like, how does this make me feel? Why does it make me feel this way? Mm-hmm. But that's the hardest part is the criticism.
Well, I think too, you're stuck in this sort of purgatory because you're extremely healthy, but you can't, like, people just don't listen. And you want to, it's like, how do I say this? You're not allowed to just show what true health actually is in a way that is all inclusive to everybody. You know, even saying, oh, well, there's these size models or there's extra clothes. Like even just the idea I would say of even plus size is just diminishing the idea that we cannot have health at every size, you know, and you're stuck with this sort of trying to just do your thing and live your life while also trying to make a point, which is that you are not dangerous. I mean, how do you,
what's
how do you marry
go-to?
That, you know,
like what's your go-to thing that you tell yourself in those moments, like, or that, I mean, do you ever comment back to the people who say you're dangerous, which seems very extreme to me? Your go-to thing?
I usually have to, whenever I recenter myself, the kind of the big thing that I'll tell myself is that it is not my problem and that it is their problem. Mm. Like it's the only way that I'm able to bring myself back in, because as soon as they start telling me these things, they're trying to make that become my problem. Right. They're trying to like say you're wrong, so you need to be upset about that. You need to you need to do better than that. You need to change your mindset and go back to your weight loss ways. And that's their problem.
Yeah,
so that they feel better about themselves, I guess. And so that's the biggest thing, is that it's clearly a them problem. And that's not my problem to fix, unfortunately. Hopefully they will eventually do the work to figure out that that's actually harmful for them to say something like that to somebody like me, not just because of my platform, but because of my body size and because of the way that I'm treated by society. I mean, weight stigma is literally the reason that people are fearful of going to the gym. They're fearful of getting a trainer. They're scared to go to the doctor. They're scared to get on an airplane because of what if you get seated next to somebody who says something about you and says you're uncomfortable, and then they make you get off the plane. Like that's happened. I've talked to so many people that happens to.
Oh my God.
And it's just, that's the kind of stuff that makes people in sizes like mine feel like they can't live. Like the only option, like the society gives us the only option to lose weight so that then we can go into the world and experience, you know, be able to sit in a restaurant, you know, booth that is made for all body types, you know, then we can get on an airplane that fits us. Then we can go into a gym and not be sold a weight loss plan and actually be taught how to use the gym equipment properly. And we won't be recorded and put on these websites to be made fun of by the way we're working out. You know, there's just so many things, like the doctor. I rarely go to the doctor because it's just a horrible experience every single time. Mm-hmm. And I just think if all those things were not like put on my shoulders all the time, that I'm like, what would life be like? And then as somebody who is fat, and that's how I identify as fat, I don't think it's a bad word. As someone who's fat, you get to a point where you're like, well, if I'm not going to be able to enjoy life's experiences because of my weight, every corner that I turn, something bad is happening or I'm being treated differently, at some point you're going to say, well, the only option is to lose weight. Like, then that's what will solve all these problems. But if those weren't there, people think that, well, if we aren't harping on fat people and we aren't, you know, telling them what we think about them and why we think they're bad and wrong and dangerous, then they're not going to be, they're not going to want to lose weight and they're not going to exercise and they're not going to focus on their health if we don't drill it into them that it's bad the way that they live in a big body. And it doesn't work that way at all. It makes things a lot worse.
Or that it's brave. Remember, you were telling me that it's brave of you to show yourself. how brave of you to show people your fitness. I mean, it's like backhanded compliments because people are uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's the brave comment or the I wish I had your confidence compliment. That is also kind of like...
I did want to ask, though, because, you know... a lot of us struggle with weight and we're in feeling good in our bodies at whatever size. And I totally appreciate that you acknowledge that this is a lifelong journey. Was there a moment, have you had that moment where you've just been like, I just love myself? Did you have to force those words out of your mouth or are you actively waking up every day trying to love yourself? As someone who has... massive self-esteem issues did you ever just decide, you know what, I am who I am and I love it, I'm fucking love it, you know? Did you ever, have you gotten to that place?
I get to that place a lot of the time, and then there's still times where like it's just the thing is about this is that I love myself so much and I'm so proud of myself and I'm so thankful for everything that my body does and has done. And the thing that makes me not feel that way is when other people tell me that I don't deserve to feel that way. That's when I have hard days. That's whenever I struggle with, maybe they're right. That's when I start retreating back to the way that I used to think. If it wasn't for that, being told that all the time, I think that I would actually be a little bit better. You know, I would actually be able to wake up every single day and at least choose to feel good about myself and to feel confident. But it gets really difficult whenever the world, I'm changing and I'm evolving and growing and the world around me is not keeping up with that. And that's what makes it really difficult.
You're right. They're not keeping up. And then there's, you know, Shane and I were just talking about this morning. I mean, this is what we all talk about with this dismantling of all of the things that we're all unlearning, you know, but this idea of a woman has to look a certain way. There's a whole faction of people that are just like gripping onto it so tightly because that's how they identify. And I think, you know, as you can see, even in just 3 years to see the shift that you've seen and the acceptance and that those people are just going to get louder and louder. Unfortunately, you're bearing it. Because they're going to go down screaming into the pit of fire while you're walking off into the sunset feeling fucking great, you know? Yeah. And I'm sorry to drop the F-bombs, but it's so obvious that, you know, it's the whole idea that we teach our children about bullies is that the people who don't love themselves at all are the meanest to someone who does because...
Hurt people.
Yeah, and it's... Yeah. And so my next question is then... What makes you decide to carry this torch? You know, why do you put up with all the bullshit and all the comments? You know, what made you just be this beautiful, amazing platform?
Mm-hmm. It's the community, 100%. Since the only reason that I even like cared enough to start investing more time in Instagram and my platform was because of the community, because of the women that would reach out to me and say, you know, I decided to go to the gym today. I decided to wear the bathing suit with my son today. It's those messages, and I get them every single day. Those are the ones that I hang on to and the ones that give me that strength to say, you know what, like I'm gonna, no matter what these people are telling me, I have to keep doing this because it is making a difference. What I'm doing is making a difference for women and people who are struggling and not feeling represented and not feeling like there's anybody who's in their corner saying that no, like everybody else is full of shit. Like they really are. And they're trying to make you believe something so that they can take your money, so that they can profit off of your insecurities. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. at some point you have to think and reach that, you know, I am not just a body. I'm not here as like a decoration right. for society. I am here for all of these other things. Like I have so many other qualities, and that's a lot of what I'm trying to learn about myself so that I can teach that to my daughter, so that when she is a little bit older and we're having full on conversations that aren't about like her poopy, it's like, then at that point I can tell her that she is more than a body. I can compliment her on her, on how like artistic she is. I can compliment her creativity and her strength, and I can actually focus on all those other things that make her who she is. And I'm hopeful that the whole like my appearance and my body and how I appear in the world outside of my home is so, so important. And it's like, I don't want her to think that. I want her to have that be a secondary thought, that like, she's going to go out into the world and she's going to use those strengths and those things that I've been building her up with, to use that as her force and her power, so that she can make a difference in whatever way she's going to make a difference. And she won't go into the world thinking that her only purpose here is to have a certain size body and to have, you know, certain style of hair, even though, you know, I do my best with mine.
Hey, we gotta have a little flair every now and
then. Yeah,
you know?
Every now and then. Like but it's because the reason that I was able to do this in my hair is because I felt confident in myself as a person first, and not just like what everybody else thinks. Like, I would have never done this to my hair, you know, a few years ago, like ever. It would have been the last thing I did. I mean, every hairstylist also told me not to cut it outside of the face frame because my face is round.
Oh, ugh. God.
Yeah, it's just, I'm telling you, so every funny, corner.
You know, it's so funny because we always, you know, the age old phrase, you can't take it with you, right? And we apply that to our things and money, but you can't take your body with you either, you know? And it really is, we are souls, and this is just a meat suit. And it's fascinating that we're so obsessed with how we exist in this tiny, tiny, tiny blip of time on Earth and make it so outward facing. When, to your point, imagine the beauty we could do if we worked on our souls, if we gave ourselves grace and we spent even a fraction, 2/3 of the time thinking about changing our insides than obsessing over our outsides, which are going to decay and rot in the ground or get burned when we die. And no one, you know, it's just, it's fascinating how we've evolved to be so self-absorbed.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, have you ever sat down and wrote 10 things that you love about yourself that have nothing to do with your body and your appearance?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I mean, if you really think about that, can you sure name haven't. 10 things? Like, can you even think of like, what are 10 things about me
that aren't my body?
That I really love about myself.
So, I have a daughter who is shaped very differently than I was ever shaped, and she's got a bigger body, and I never had that struggle. I had different struggles. I was missing 8 teeth till I was 16, but she's just getting to that age where she's recognizing how different she looks from her friends. And so there's been some really tough conversations where I 100% have to focus on her self-worth. And I'm hoping that transcribes, and I'm terrified, as I think any parent of any kid that has something to deal with that's kind of like not in their control. You know what I mean? And I think that's what people don't understand. Like, there's no way that my 10-year-old daughter should feel badly about the body that she was born into. Like Tracy was saying, this is just your shell, and you, all of the confidence and all of the beauty of it comes from the inside. And I, you know, it's tough. It's these really, really hard conversations. And I just wanted to kind of end this interview with you by asking what you say to moms, as a mom yourself, who are, you know, whose daughters may not look like the Gap Kids catalogs. I mean, talk about a hard time finding clothes, you know? Yeah. Like, little girl clothes are made those t-shirts at Target are all tapered, you know, there's nothing for anybody with a belly, nothing. And, you know, she's wearing my size jeans, but they're all too long, but she can't wear kid, you know, she can't wear kid clothes. And I, it's so hard because I absolutely never want to make it about her body. And I, like, what is your advice to the mothers of the girls or the boys?
I mean, the biggest thing is that whenever we use descriptors for our bodies, because they maybe they will say, well, I look, you know, and then whatever word, like whether it's fat or whether it's like just any word that has been used like as a slur, as something that's wrong. And don't assign value to it. That's kind of like the biggest thing, like especially the word fat. If they were to say, gosh, you know, mom, I'm so fat. Like, why am I so fat? And your first response is, oh, no, 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 you're not. Or like, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that about yourself. If you say that, you're immediately assigning that as, you're assigning it as a bad word. Like you're saying that.
You're almost agreeing like, with the notion of it. Yeah.
That, it, that it's wrong or that it's bad. And instead, like a reaction. I mean, I know internally it's going to feel like your stomach's being ripped apart. But your reaction just needs to be more about, well, what does fat do? You know, because, yeah, I mean, we all have fat. I have fat. You have fat. But, you know, the cool thing about fat is that it, you know, protects our insides and that our body actually uses it as energy. So whenever you're going to go like outside and run around, like your body is actually using your fat as energy to do that. Like, how cool is that? And you would kind of flip the script and turn it into like a teachable moment. And how all bodies actually have fat. Some have a lot of fat. Some have a little bit of fat. And some are like anywhere in between. And isn't that so cool that we're all kind of like different? Like every single human being is so different. That's how I would kind of like approach the conversation instead of immediately making it seem like what, like it's bad and that you're trying to like make them feel like, yeah, I agree that it is, you know, bad that you look that way. But it's okay. Like you never want to have that but moment. I haven't had this conversation with my daughter yet. I know eventually I probably will, whether it's her body or whether it's somebody else's body that she's noticing. Maybe she'll even notice it about mine. I'm not sure. But that's kind of how I'm trying to prepare myself to have that conversation.
You're right, because sweeping it under the rug or just saying like, no, don't use those words.
Or
just
no, gives you're them not more power. Isn't even... you know, it's that's not helpful either, just to be like, oh, no, ignore all your feelings. And so, I mean, I do think now that you're saying that, that my when she was upset the other night and was saying these things, and I said, my first reaction was, who said something to you? Like, because like somebody being mean, and then I can handle that separately. But I validated her feelings because I didn't want to brush under the rug that she had any self-consciousness that we needed to deal with. Right? I didn't want to be like, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, like I wanted to be like, I understand how hard it is to feel self-conscious. I had my own, you know, self-consciousness to deal with. So does every person in this world. So let's talk about yours and let's, you know, find ways again to make sure that you feel worthy outside of, but that's such a great point not to put a negative connotation or a negative value on just the idea of being bigger or being fat. I think that's really great advice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you up for playing a ridiculous game with us now that we've
always
1,000 more questions, but we'll
let's play a game. I know. We're just gonna we continue to follow you. And before we play this game, is there anything that you want to tell our audience about where to find you? Any things that you're working on? Just how can we know more about Meg Boggs?
So I'm on Instagram at meg.boggs. I also have a TikTok now, which is super fun.
What? It's the same.
Yeah. Are you on TikTok?
Yeah, we are. Everyone go find
us.
TikTok.
Love TikTok.
You got to do it. We're there. It's so much fun. But it's at meg.boggs as well. The same Instagram, TikTok. I also have my website that I am completely revamping right now. It's going to have all kinds of great resources.
Yes.
So I'm all about resources.
Yes.
And so that's going to go live probably in the next about month or so before my book comes out, which comes out on April 27th of next month.
Excellent.
Yes. So
we love April 27th. That's a good, that's my anniversary and her husband's birthday.
That is.
And that's a good sign.
That's a great sign.
Can people pre-order it?
Yes, it's available for pre-order. I have the link in my Instagram bio. So if you just click on my bio, it says pre-order. You can find it pretty much on any retailer, I think. Like you can get it Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There's some other ones that are like other countries that I don't know how to say this the names. But yeah, the link will have everywhere that you can pre-order.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. So we're going to do our guest bomb fire round. Mm-hmm. 1 minute. We're just going to rapid fire some questions off at you. Please just give us your most honest answers. There's no wrong answers.
Ooh, why am I sweating?
I know. It's exciting. You're so excited.
Yeah. Yes. You're going to love this.
Okay. Let's do it.
We are having fun, Meg. Okay. All right. Are we ready? Here we go.
Okay. What's your middle name?
Megan.
Stop the timer.
So many. I'm pausing.
I'm sorry.
Is it Meg Megan?
It's Meg Megan. Please say it's Meg Megan. No.
Well, it is now. It's Meg Megan.
It's Meg Megan Boggs Boggsen. please explain.
No, my middle name is Megan and my first name is actually Pamela. I've never gone by Pamela though.
Good call.
Love it.
And but I'm only ever now calling you Meg Megan because obviously now we're best friends and that's what I'm calling you. Okay.
I love it. Okay.
I'm resuming.
Your faces were so good. You were like,
I don't know why that was like,
we were like,
you really threw us. Not a lot jars us, but that really got us.
All those years of improv just out the window with one answer from Meg Boggs.
Y'all had the exact same look on your face.
Well, that's because we're the same person.
That was amazing. Okay. We're continuing. Are you ready? Okay, here we go.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever been in jail?
No.
Tacos or pizza?
Tacos.
Who's your favorite Schitt's Creek character?
I don't watch that.
Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune?
Wheel of Fortune.
Tampons or the cup?
I want to use the cup, but I've never tried it and I hate tampons. So I'll say the cup.
Okay. Favorite candle scent?
Ooh, like the Christmassy one. The one that smells like the woods, you know?
Like pine.
Yes. Ooh, yeah.
What's your least favorite children's TV show?
The Caillou one.
Sure.
Go to bra color.
Pink.
What's your favorite breakfast food?
Eggs.
Okay, and your vagina is the name of the last TV show you watched. Go.
The Bachelor.
Yeah. Bachelor.
Love that. I'm sure your husband does too. That's amazing.
Yeah. Meg, thank you. You are a delight and you have so much information that's just so positive in this world. So
thank you
for being an inspiration to all of us and to moms especially. And we just want to let you know that you are an awesome, awesome mom and you're doing a great job.
Thank you
so much for coming.
So good
on.
To hear that. Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
This is awesome.
I love Meg Boggs.
I am crazy about Meg Boggs.
When she came on the screen, it was like seeing a celebrity. Like I was like, because she's so beautiful. And then she has these beautiful flowers behind. You guys go to our YouTube channel. You can see.
Yeah.
Live.
She was like a freaking Instagram post, like a living Instagram filter. Yeah,
she's awesome.
Yeah. That was really good. I hope that inspired you guys. You know, body love, self-love is such a complicated and difficult topic. And older I get, the more I realize how much work I have to do on myself, you know?
Well, and it's like the next time you say something shitty to yourself, just stop it. It's so easy to just be like, I hate this thing or I hate this thing. Like we are all imperfect, you know? Yeah. What you can do is feel strong. You can, and this is what I, you know, this is what we try to tell our kids. So let's tell ourselves, mamas.
Absolutely. She's great. So hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, please share if this resonated with you. If you've got a mom friend who's struggling and just might enjoy her words, please just click the link and text it on to whoever
yep
you love.
And make sure to follow us on Instagram at at Band of Mothers Official. Go to the Bomb Market for all of your fun High Plains body love.
And guys, everything is in the show notes. So if you don't know, if you don't remember any addresses, just go down to the show notes and it's all there for you.
Yeah. Leave a message with an embarrassing moment.
Yes, please.
At bandofmothers.com.
If you'd like to listen to this podcast ad-free, you can join Wondery Plus and download the app, and you can listen to all podcasts on their platform without any ads. It's only $5 a month. So check that out if that's important to you.
And
we love you.
We love you.